Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together and this time of equipping. And we are so thankful, one, for Kate, and what an answer to prayer she is for our ministry. And so we are hopeful, God, for what you will continue to do in our ministry with her on the team now. And also for this time, we thank you for people like Robbie who are here at Perimeter, just filling an incredible need, not only as members, but even as professionals. I know that our student ministry is incredibly blessed by her in a lot of direct and indirect ways. And so as she equips us now, would our hearts and our minds be attentive? And God, would you fill this time with your Spirit? We look to you, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to start. I'm going to ask you two questions. If you would, I know this will be silly, but if you would number your paper like this.
That's a big one, and in the middle a big two.
Got a question for you. I'd like for you to answer. This is number one, okay? And you just put your answer. You have 30 seconds to answer the question, all right? All right, number one, 30 seconds you have here. What have you been taught about who God is, his attributes, and who is God to you? 30 seconds. Question number two, 30 seconds on this one as well. What have you been taught about who you are to God? What do you believe he says or thinks about you? All right, I need your papers. Now I have some handouts for you. Okay, thank you. All right, let's get going here. Let me tell you how I think this came about, that Jeff, that why I'm standing here on this particular thing. You all already know about this show. I'm not going to talk about the show, but this is what sort of sprung me into this action or this concern that we're going to talk about. And next week, I think I know that I'm speaking to the parents at Parent U in the morning, a little extension of what we're going to talk about tonight. I watched that show because a bunch of kids came in my office all around the same time, approximately a year ago, and told me about this show called 13 Reasons Why. Now, I'd never heard of it. You know, but I thought maybe I better pay attention to this because a lot of it was walking in my office. So I did binge. Thank you. Almost said splurge. Binge watch. It was a splurge. Mercy. And I'm a note taker. I actually wrote about 200 pages of notes watching that show because of what I do and what I wanted to learn and all the ridiculous junk that was in that show. And I wanted to be able to point it out to kids. Do you see the problem with this? Do you see the problem with that? It was just pitiful, in my opinion. I could see why it was so, I guess you'd call it entertaining. I don't call that entertainment, but I'm also not 14, 15, 16, or 17 years old. I'm a grandmother, so, you know, different world. But I work down in that field at all ages. But that's what prompted this. I called Jeff and said, hey, have you seen this thing? He said, no, not yet. Please watch it. So he did the binge thing, too. Therefore, here we are talking about this a little bit, but not about that show. That spurred something in me about where are kids' tools to handle hard stuff? How come they're so squishy? Or whatever word. And that squishy is not a really, I don't mean that to be a non-complimentary or a criticism. But, you know, like, where's their stuff? Back in my generation, that you don't compare generations, but I just don't think things would have gone like that. Back in my generation, if somebody made fun of you or betrayed you, or which they did, people are no nicer now or worse, you know. But there's social media, you know, that just exacerbates everything. But I also got concerned about what are kids being taught? What's making their backbone? What's making their spiritual backbone? What's making their emotional backbone? What's making? And I'm sorry to say some people need some spinectomies. They don't have backbones. And I fear that perhaps their parents don't either or whatever it's made. I don't know. But anyway, I got just real concerned about what I perceive to be a type of weakness and insecurity in the kids. And so y'all are on the front lines because, you know, they love you guys. You wouldn't believe how much positive, never negative. I never hear, and I mean this, or I'd tell you, because I would. I never hear a negative word about the discipleship group leaders. They really love you guys. I hope you understand and realize what an important place you have in their lives. You are what I call on the front lines. Therefore, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And so I'm really, notice the name on that handout that I throw. Discern and teach. And so really what I'm talking to you about is to be able to discern if some of the kids you work with are falling off the rails. Did any of y'all watch that 13 Reasons Why thing? Okay. The whole show's off the rails. But a lot of kids, they're so insecure, bless their hearts. They're so afraid. They're so lots of things. Maybe if I put my glasses on, I can see what I wrote here. Okay. Insecure, afraid, unsure. They're floundering. And there can be lots of reasons for that. And then I did put the word squishy. By that, I mean they have almost no demonstration of coping skills when things get tough. Now, this some of them are amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Or they can be amazing on this and fall apart on this. They're not real consistent. They get their feelings hurt very easily. Sometimes they can't let go of it. They can't cope. There seems to be no skill to keep moving, or they'll carry a hurt way too long. Or they'll make the hurt this big, and it really wasn't that big, but for some reason it was to them. And they will carry these hurts a prolonged amount of time. And depending on what they're thinking about these situations, it can grow into a monster, when indeed it was something that you should have been able to flick off the same day it happened. So they just seem to have a lack of emotional intelligence. Now, of course, I got to remember, they're kids. But there again, there you guys are on the front lines to perceive how they're doing. And I don't think I've said to a few kids when I've asked them, how would you rate? And I actually use the words because it kind of makes you stop and think. They think I'm talking about their IQ. They get touchy. How would you rate your emotional intelligence? And they just told me that their mama took their cell phone and they thought about killing themselves for a few minutes. I thought, really? But how do you rate your emotional intelligence? They go, on a scale of 1 to 10, I give myself a 9.5. I go, well, no, honey, you're about a 1.2. But then they'll tell me another story where they ministered to a friend who was hurting, and they were a 9.5. So, they're inconsistent. But they are kids. And then let's just be honest. I work with lots of adults. They're not a whole lot different. Some of them, just not a whole lot different. So there's my squishy word. If I use it again, you'll know what I mean. They just don't seem to be able to demonstrate coping skills or consistent coping skills. I want to give you a quick story. I'm going to make this real fast. I was in a parking lot. I'm not going to tell you when this was. It was quite some years ago. I'll just say that. I was in the parking lot of a retail business right here in Johns Creek. Had my arms full. I'm putting my stuff in my car, and I'm going the back of it, going around to get in my door. And as I'm out there going around, I see two cars about to back out. And one of them perceives that and so pulls back in their spot. Okay, cool. Well, this one keeps coming, and I don't know what happened. She just goes, bam. She goes all the way across that lane and hits that car that was perfectly in its spot. And I thought, sorry. I stand there a second and watch. Well, the car that did the hitting was a perimeter woman that I know, church member, and her two teenage, they're teenage, like 14, 16-year-old kids get out with her. I thought, oh, gosh. Now, her car, by the way, is still over there making love to that car over there. I thought you could have at least moved it. But anyway, and the lady she hit, she gets out. She was one of my clients. So I'm knowing everybody here. So it's quite interesting. And I can hear their voices. I was about six cars down. Well, the lady that did the hit and started screaming at the lady she hit. I thought, dude. And I mean screaming. And the kids are going, Mom, Mom. And it just was, I thought, oh, my goodness. And my client, I know, is extremely depressed. And I'm getting worried about her. I mean, this was ugly from every angle. What was being role model for those kids, the way that lady was acting, she took no responsibility. It was horrible. And she was berating. She even raised her arm once. And I thought, I'm going over there. I thought, no, mind your own business. Go over there. What'd you mean? So finally, I thought, I am going over there. This is awful. So I went over there, neither of them knowing that I was hiding in the cars. And I go over there, and they both go at the same time, hey, Robbie. So now she knows that she knows me. She knows that she. And I said, hey, is everything okay? Which was stupid. Of course it wasn't. I just want to calm stuff down. I said, listen, what's going on? The one that did the slamming said, she hit me. And I thought, oh, honey. So I said, well, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I was putting stuff in the back of my car, and I saw the whole thing. Can I help? Everybody got real quiet. And I said, could I share with you what I just shared? I shared what I saw. I saw you both coming. She realized that she went very safely and completely back into her parking space, and you kept coming, and I don't know what happened. You didn't turn your car, and you hit her, as you can see. you're still smushed up with her right here. I don't know what was going on here. And the kids are going, yeah, Mom. Well, anyway, then she goes, nobody loves me. I knew you'd take her side. Now she's a victim. I mean, this was a mess. I say that story to tell you this is what some role modeling our kids get. Not all of them. That's pretty bizarre. That's pretty way out there. Then I got blamed for it, by the way. Well, okay. Anyway, that's years ago. It got straightened out. That first lady got some help, and she's apologized to everybody. I perceived there was something else going. But what are your kids going through? What if they have parents like that at home? And guess what? Some of them do. But not all the time. So it can be very inconsistent. I just want to give you an example of what you're seeing in the kids sometimes is a reflection of what's going on in their lives. Of course it is. But sometimes it's just absolutely what's role modeled. In these homes, there may be divorce going on. There may just be an unhealthy home, a lot of yelling and so forth. Maybe there's some abuse, physical or emotional or otherwise. Maybe the kid has some health issues. Maybe they're going through a loss. They're grieving. They have their own fears and anxieties, their school stresses, sports, all the stuff kids have to do. Maybe they are messing around with drugs and alcohol, or they're turning to drugs and alcohol because of some of these stresses. Maybe that they're self-medicating. And then their own negative thinking patterns. Here's a demonstration, a drawing of what I see an awful lot with kids. These are the ones that have not yet developed some skills to think outside themselves. I call them blockheads. They're pretty much I, me, now. And all they can think about is what they want right now and what goes on for them. And here's what we're hoping for. Now, definitely age 14. I had never met a 14-year-old that didn't have that all over them. But you're hoping by 15, 16, 17 that there's something's happening where this cracks open and they can think about something outside themselves. For instance, in here, I want to smoke a joint. I want to go have sex. I want to shoplift. I want to go do whatever I do, and I can do whatever I want to do. And they get in trouble. Why? Why'd they get in trouble? What? Okay, when they get older, hopefully they thought just a second, if I do A, B just might happen. There's a B out there. You might get arrested. You might, so other things happen. But when they're in a total blockhead mode, there is no B. And they hopefully maturity takes care of some of that. And it does. But I have worked with 30-year-olds that are still total block. And maybe that's some of the parents we're talking about. Anyway, these kids have just a big hurt in the sense of acceptance, a sense of belonging. And it's very important to all of us to have a sense of belonging and importance, but especially to teenagers. And that's just my opinion. But oh, by the way, everything tonight's my opinion, unless I read you a Bible verse. And that's not my opinion. That's awesome. So the kids have a real problem with a sense of acceptance and belonging. They need somebody to help them think about ways to find new friends. Sometimes they need to change friend groups, and we all know that. Sometimes they need some friends, period. Some of them don't have any. Sometimes they need to be encouraged to participate in sports, which can be a social aspect as well as being in the sport. Maybe joining some kind of school activities, group hobbies, just kids getting together and painting together. I took a bunch of painting classes from one of the elders here at church, and there were a lot of teenagers in those classes. So I started telling some of my depressed or real anxious kids, hey, maybe you'd enjoy painting class. And they did. That just was a very blossoming event for them. That was just special to them. Sometimes it's music and whatever. They just need help socializing sometimes. And I thought of a real funny one about, I don't know about schools. I should have asked some of you that know about this, like joining school organizations. This one is so funny that I had in my high school. I'm from Tennessee. Does anybody know what this means? The FFA. What does that mean? Future Farmers of America. So you can just go tell all the kids, y'all should join the FFA. What kind of laugh would you get here in Johns Creek talking to a kid about joining the FFA, Future Farmers of America? Do they still have that? They do?
Yes.
Really? And we had 4-H club and all that stuff. But anyway. I don't really know what DECA is, but I've heard of that in high schools and a lot of. But that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying join something. Don't just live your own life in this little box, isolated. Of course, if the kid is depressed, and we're going to move over into that topic in a second, it's very hard to get them to motivate the energy, to want to do anything like that. What you can do as leaders, And I'm not talking in the order of what's on your paper. It's just going to be in the talk somewhere. The biggest thing you can do is, no kidding, be there. Listen, listen, listen. And do not lecture the kids. It may be hard. There's teaching and there's lecturing. And you would not believe how much you teach by just listening. 90% of good communication is listening. And when somebody's sharing something with you that they're going through, or and it may be the wackiest thing, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, don't stop and tell them wacky. Just keep listening. Because you become safe for them. You become very, very important. And then you might can say, well, I got some idea. I want to share something with you on something you just told me about. That's when you can teach a little. You teach. But get their trust and keep dripping in their bucket. Keep dripping in their bucket. Now, there's three times you break confidentiality. I don't know what the rules are here, but it's probably the same as mine. I'm a mandatory reporter in my profession, but it would seem like everybody should be a mandatory reporter on these three things. Homicidal ideation. I'm going to kill my math teacher. Are you? What? Why are you talking like that? No, I really am. Okay. Whoops. Do you know what to do if they say that and they won't retract it? Call who?
Jeff.
That's right. Okay, y'all are supposed to call Jeff. Jeff, what are you supposed to do?
I have to call the authorities.
Have to call who?
The authorities.
That's right. Call the authorities. So that's good. I like that system you have there. Put the heavy on Jeff. And, of course, I just have to call him. I have two phones in my office, and it's just a regular little office, one right beside my chair. And I did get a gun pulled on me one time, and that phone, thank the Lord, it was right there. And they got there. Well, she could have killed me before they got there, but she didn't. And, well, obviously, brilliant. Yeah. And her husband sat right there on the couch, never moved, and they arrested him too for not trying to help at all. He didn't even tell her, honey, put the gun down. Nothing. He just sat there like he must have put up with that every day or something. I don't know. He seemed to be used to it. I saw her in the bank 4 years later. She said, Robbie, remember me? I went, oh, do I? And I decided I could make that deposit later. I was scared she was going to follow me out of the bank. But anyway, okay, homicidal ideation. Suicidal ideation. Okay, we're going to break that down in a minute. But suicidal ideation. What are y'all supposed to do then? Call Jeff? Which is right. Jeff, what are you going to do? Yeah, and? Well, they are parents. Yeah, absolutely. Parents get real upset. Parents get real upset if you call the authorities and don't call them. Real upset. I hate to say this, but I don't hate to say it really. I got a call 10 years ago from a youth leader here at Perimeter Church and said, Robbie, you better sit down. I mean, I knew who the guy was. This was pre-Jeff, I think. How long you been doing this?
10 years.
Well, then it was right before Jeff. Well, I don't know. Guy was named David Grant. I got a phone call from David Grant, who I knew. Robbie, you better sit down. So I sat down. When David Grant says sit down, you sit down. I was in my office. He said a mother was checking through her son's social media. There was a message from my daughter, to him. She says she's going to kill herself. What? What? I think my heart stopped. We just wanted you to know. Thank you so very much. Because she called the church. And then they called me. And that started a world that I won't take the time to go into. About 4 years of unbelievable. But praise God, somebody. I'll call that love snooping parents. If your parents ever ask you, do you think it's okay if we read our kid's diary? Or do you think it's okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. I do. I'm sorry. I know some people. I know you can vehemently disagree with that. And I understand that side too. But too many lives have been saved because of it. I call it love snooping. Or you can call it whatever you want to. Look it in their phones. Tell parents. I mean, you tell them your opinion. That's my opinion, that you should check their phones, that you'd always have their passwords, that you should figure out how they have all these apps that say they're Bible verses. No, they're not. Some of them are. But some of them are not. Some of them are porn sites. There's just all kinds of things with different names on these apps. It's just incredible. And they're so smart. They are so smart. Last one, child abuse. If they talk to you about abusing somebody or somebody has abused them, and abuse has many forms, you'll be on your toes about all of those. Now, here's one that's not in the big list, homicide, suicide, child abuse. What if a kid tells you they're starting to shoot heroin? What are you going to do about that, or if anything? What's the rule? What have you set up for them?
Yeah, they're putting the
Absolutely. Okay, here's what I do. Because of confidentiality in my office, here's what I do. I'm giving you 24 hours to tell your parents. I'm going to call you in 23 and a half hours and ask you if you've told them. And if you haven't, I'm calling your parents. Okay, and then here's how they may tell me in 23. Yeah, I told her. Well, how do I know they're not lying to me? So I'll say, thank you. I'm going to call your mom now and see what you told. Oh, so I still, you know, I do the double. I check with the kid. They, most of them do lie to me. So then I call the parent. So their parent's going to find out one way or the other. And they have to. And I didn't, you know, I don't just mean heroin. It can be whatever. Or if they're drinking a fifth of vodka. I don't, you know, whatever it is. All right. I want things that for y'all to watch for. It, you know, to be discerning. Notice the word on my notes is discern. Here we go. And you won't be able to get all these, but y'all are smart and you know these already. Poor performance in school, if you are aware that their grades are falling apart. Withdrawal from friends and activities. You sense or, and notice a sadness in them and they sort of talk in a hopeless manner. A lack of enthusiasm. Their energy seems down. Their motivation seems down. They're angry. That's not how they normally work. You know, something's changing in them. You may hear them talk about they just went into a rage over something. Like, well, that's not rage worthy. In fact, in all honesty, what is rage worthy? Overreaction to criticism or perceived criticism. Feelings of underachievement or failure. They can't satisfy their own ideals or the ideals of others, like I'll never be good enough. Poor self-esteem. Guilt, worthlessness, I've messed up everything. Indecision, lack of concentration or lack of focus. Restlessness or an agitation, they seem kind of on edge. Changes in eating habits like eating more, eating less. If you notice weight loss in kids, that's the biggest one I pick up on the weight department. I say, have you lost weight? No. Yes, you have. And I have a scale in my office, so I use it. they love that. Changes in sleeping habits. There's some way you would never know some of these. But if you're actually, they're actually talking to you, you can ask them some of these. Substance abuse or just substance use. You don't have to abuse it. In my opinion, if you use heroin once, you've already abused yourself. So problems with authority, getting unusually rebellious. And then the risky stuff. The risky, not that some of that wasn't already, but like suicidal thoughts and actions. And have they ever attempted before? That puts them in a whole nother category. If they've attempted suicide before, it's not near as big a deal to them to do it, try it again. They might make it this time. And then there's something called SIV, self-inflicted violence, very reckless behaviors. Drinking a fifth of vodka all at once is a reckless behavior. Cutting is a reckless behavior. Shoplifting is a reckless behavior. You know, not caring about the outcome. They're just stuck in the box. So real risky behaviors. So these are things to watch for. All of those fit the symptomology of depression, but it does not mean they're depressed just because they may be suffering through some of that. Maybe something really difficult's happened in their life, a tough situation, and they're just responding temporarily to that tough situation. You also need to be that safe place to land when they're going through tough things. Depression, if it is depression, untreated can get worse. It's nothing to mess around with. If you're concerned about a kid being real depressed, you don't feel like you can just really get in there, mention it to Jeff or somebody, and somebody call me or call some counselor. The Randy Schlichting office, can't think of the name of that, Shepherding, thank you, has a big old list of counselors, big old list, okay? And so there's help all over the place, but be sure and use that help. Kids also will, you can notice they have this exaggerated sense of guilt sometimes, which can lead, I mean, just a moment of exaggerated something, which can lead to a very impulsive act. Like, man, if somebody been there to listen or talk to just in that moment, they might not have done that terrible thing that they decided was a good idea right in that moment. Okay, 4 out of 5 teens, this is on your paper, 4 out of 5 teens who take their lives have given clear signals. This kind of made me sick. This isn't news to me, but it refreshed my memory on this. Here we go, the clear signals. But, you know, I don't beat yourself up if you think you missed a signal and something happened. Y'all are not in charge. I'm not either. I know the guy that is, and he is. Suicidal threats, direct or indirect. Obsession with death. poems, essays, drawings that deal with death. My daughter used to draw. She's a very good artist, and she's gotten better and better. I'm glad she now doesn't draw this anymore. She would draw a hand, and it looked like this, and it was very realistic. She drew this hand with a razor blade in it. Sometimes she would draw this, and this was slicing through the arm. I was like, gosh, it was nauseating. Were you here when I brought that? Okay. This horrible painting. I should have brought that tonight. Painting she did. It looked like somebody was in prison, and their hands were bleeding, and they were screaming to get out. It's two hands. They look bloody, and they're screaming in all this darkness. It's like, gosh, I found that in our basement one day. Just sickening. It still makes me feel bad just talking about it. Okay, giving away their belongings, a dramatic change in personality or their appearance, irrational, bizarre behavior, overwhelming sense of guilt, shame, rejection, significant change in eating or sleep patterns, a severe drop in their grades, or they just kind of disappear from church and they're not hanging out. They're just gone. What happened to so-and-so? They're just gone. I don't know. I hadn't seen them in a while. Somebody better check on them. Okay? Please don't have this thing. I don't want to get in their business. No, please get in their business. Possibly offending somebody and having them not like you for a minute is so worth whatever else could become of it. Okay? It's so worth it. Offer them listening and love. Listening is love. Don't lecture. Encourage them to talk and then talk some more. I'm assuming that sometimes y'all say on a one-on-one basis with your group, hey, can I meet you for coffee? You know, kind of do the one-on-one thing. They are allowed to do that, right? Okay. Ask direct questions. Now, listen, you won't like this one, but I bet you've already been taught this. It is okay to ask direct questions about suicide. Do not think you're going to plant that idea in their head. That's one of the biggest fallacies ever. Just flat out ask them. And I have never had somebody respond funny to me, and I ask that question several times a week. And they just look you right in the eye and give you the answer. Okay, now here's this one scares me. I didn't think about this when I was doing my notes. This one scares me. When I have people say, can you still go to heaven if you kill yourself? No, okay. Hell, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And I hate to go, yep. If you're a Christian, nothing can... I even hate to tell them that at that moment. So I go, wait a minute. And I change the subject to, why are you bringing this up? Instead of answering their question. Because I don't want to answer that one. Here's the deal. Notice the front of your paper says discern and teach. This is where I want to get into the stuff. I mean, well, not that was the stuff. That was important stuff. You know, when I ask you these questions, to me, y'all, like I say, y'all have such an incredible blessing to be called to do what you're doing. I mean, you're picked by God to be responsible with these kids. And I think you should be. Jeff and I had a little talk about, we are wired to handle hard things. He didn't put us down here and go, have at it. Y'all are on your own. Hope works out okay. I mean, we're living in the land of the Prince of Darkness. You do know that, right? When Lucifer was thrown out of the heavens, he and one third of the heavenly host were thrown out. Do you know where they were thrown? Most people go, hell. No. Planet Earth. Well, then that's yucky here. It is yucky here. You'll see how much more yucky the older you get. It's just amazing. But we are not left without defense. It's even wired into us. So I was curious if given a short amount of time. Let me tell you why I gave you such a short amount of time. It's much longer, 30 seconds. When you ask somebody a question, what do you think about God says about you? You see how long that was to wait for somebody that, of course, y'all were writing answers. But when I ask kids those questions in my office, oh my goodness, the answers. I thought, well, what are they being taught? Where are they being taught what I think they ought to be taught? Well, what God says about himself, what God says about us. Do they know what God says about himself? Something to help you with that as I tear up the place. Do y'all know this book? The Attributes of God by Arthur Pink. If you need a brush up, who doesn't need a brush up on the attributes of God? In other words, that first question I ask you, how did I word that? What have you been taught about who God is, his attributes? Who is God to you? Well, you know what? If you haven't been taught that, like who is God to you and what are God's attributes, you might get two entirely different questions. I have no idea who wrote what. I want y'all to listen. to some of the answers. This person said, Savior, redeeming love. This person said, God's the creator of all things, worthy of all our praise. He is overflowing with love. This person has my style, sovereign, omnipotent, forgiving, just, life-giving, loving, always with me, comforter, friend, father. That's the stuff I want you teaching these kids. I want, when they get having a hard time, I want them to go and think about things like that. Not, there was nothing wrong with these. Those were true, too. You should know him so intimately that you can just go pow, 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 pow. So that you can say to a kid, sweetie, do you know how forgiving he is? How just he is? How life-giving? A comforter? Your friend? Your father? I mean, list like that. Cool. Another one. Loving, just, healer, powerful, redeemer, caring for the poor. He's everywhere. Creator, eternal, omnipotent, deserving. Y'all did a pretty good job. He's a loving God who is not angry with me. That's all that person wrote on that one. But that's awesome. Do you teach him that? You know it. Do you teach them that? You wouldn't believe how many gay kids, or they think they're gay, and don't think half of them are, but they don't know what they are. And they come in my office, and that's a biggie. Will God be angry with me if I'm gay? I said, well, you know what? We're in trouble if he is, because I'm a sinner. I hadn't picked the gay thing, but I'm a sinner. And if he gets mad about sin, then we're all, you know, why, don't label just that one, okay? And they, you know, it's just a neat talk about that topic. Loving, faithful, better than me. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Good thinking. He is perfect and holy. He is love, and he embodies goodness, faithfulness, and control. I can't tell what that is, but awesome. Okay, Abba, Father, love, righteous. I'm not doing them all, but I just wanted to see what kind of things you put down here. The second question. Oh, let me tell you what kids tell me about God. What did I write about God? I'll get to that in a minute. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Here's the second one. What have you been taught about who you are to God? This is the biggie to me. I mean, they're both are huge. What do you believe he says or thinks about you? I already looked at these. I can't tell you how many of you wrote the word failure. That's disturbing. That is not what he thinks of you guys. And I would love all of you that wrote that, come over here and let's have a talk. But we're not going to do that. But that's disturbing. He does not think you're a failure. And I would love, my chest is pounding. I go, I saw it 6 or 7 times. And I thought, why did y'all think that? Another talk. It's another talk, okay? We need to work on that. A lot of you wrote the word sinner. Yeah, he knows you're a sinner. But is that what he thinks of you? What do you think I'm going after when I ask you that question? Let me find one that I can read to you. His beloved. Yes. Oh. I am loved, forgiven, justified, sanctified, hopeful to heaven, and glorified. Sanctified, hopeful. I don't know what you mean by hopeful to heaven and glorified state. Redeemed son of God. A disappointing sinner. That's not what God thinks of you guys. I was afraid of this. I kind of knew this was going to happen, and this was my point. I'm insufficient without him. With him, I am. Correct. I'm his child. I'm his beloved. I am his ambassador. I am his son, created in his image and adopted into his family because of his, something I can't tell that handwriting, love. That's right. Loved, cared for, forgiven, righteous, redeemed. Now we're rolling. Okay. I'm a sinner, but I'm still precious in his sight. I'm a daughter. I was dead in my sins, not at all wanting him, but he paid the price, so he sees me as good. All right, a little bit concerned about that sinner failure stuff. There aren't any failures in here, by the way, ever. So here's what, when I ask kids those questions, they can't do it. They often do say, he loves me, but it's just words. Because then they say things like, I guess he thinks I'm nice. He knows I study hard. He knows I like sports. It's like he knows their resume. That's the kind of answers I get. He's proud of me because I mostly obey my parents. He thinks I'm cool because I go to D group. I got that one last week. But wait, where's the justified, redeemed, forgiven, this kind of stuff? I almost never get an answer about their identity in Christ. That's what we're after there. Your identity in Christ, not what the world says you are. The world says you're a failure, by the way. This is your identity in Christ. What does Christ say? You do know this, right? I got to do this. If Jesus walked in right now and he sat right here, I would burst into tears. I hope the rest of you would too. Or I'd fall down. That's what I would do. Jesus is sitting right here, the Son. And all of you are still in the same seat you're in right now. And then we are going to separate him, the Trinity deal, and God the Father walks in. And I go, hey, Father, which one do you love the most in here? Which one has the least sin in here? And he would say, if you're all Christians, you're all the same. Do y'all know that? You can't write failure on that paper anymore. Maybe we need to have a little group counseling session. That shook me up, as you can tell. Because you're the gateway to truth for these kids. Please don't ever tell them that, okay? I doubt that you have. But if you think that about yourself, that's a little bit hard. Okay. The kids, let's see, where am I? I almost never get an answer about their identity in Christ. They know the list, the very love list of how the world, they know the list of how the world identifies them. They will tell me, not smart enough, ugly, not good enough. It rolls off. It's like mind reading because they all say the same thing. They do not know the list or any length of the list of what their identity in Christ is. And so that's why I did this thing. I tested myself, but it was cheating because I knew what I was going to ask the question. Here's what I did. I gave myself 30 seconds. And this is not special. I'm not special. This is just, I'm sort of saying this because I want this to blow out of you too. But I've had more years to practice this and more years to test it, more years to fall down and watch him pull me back up. So here's what I wrote on who I am. Fully loved, fully forgiven, fully accepted, approved of, beloved, friend of God, fully free, redeemed, restored, adopted, holy, pure through the Son, blameless, saint, daughter of the King. My every detail matters to him, protected, whole, strong in Christ. He cares intimately about every detail of my life. Then I had to quit because my 30 seconds was up. Listen, guys, this is who you are, not just me. This is who you are in Christ. And then I tested myself on the other side. Who is he? Go. Creator, sovereign, merciful, all-knowing, omniscient, all-present, omnipresent, all-powerful, omnipotent, essence of grace, wisdom, mercy, justice. He's all order and logic. He's my only hope forever and ever. He is all majesty, holy, holy, holy. And the clock ran out again. That was fun. That was just fun. And then I got to thinking about, and I told Jeff this. This is a suggestion, but I'm going to definitely say this to the parents. And I didn't do this. I blew this. I thought of this after all my kids are gone. I have 4 kids, adults, now married and all gone. And grandbaby number 7 on the way. I never put in my home, like up on my refrigerator. I had all their pictures they drew up there, and I couldn't tell what they were and all that stuff. But I never put a list of what I wanted them to know about themselves in Christ so that when something smacked down on them in the world when mama wasn't around, which was all the time, they could just see that list in their head. So they could see loved, forgiven, accepted, approved of, beloved, friend of God, fully free, redeemed, restored, adopted, holy, pure, blameless. Instead of going, I'm a loser. I'm stupid. I'm not as cool. So here's my suggestion. Put a list up somewhere, for yourself, for anyone that might come into your home, for your children. Suggest it to the parents. They're going to hear me suggest it next week. If you want to laminate it, I've got one. Let's laminate that booger and keep it up there their whole lives. Keep it up there forever. Get your identity just pounded into you. There are certain ads you've seen on TV so many times that you can sing the song and you know the words. Well, why not know this? This is the stuff, people. This is the stuff that'll protect you. I wrote down 4 things. I forget if I typed them on your paper or not. I'm big about just lines of truth that can run through. Yes, I did put them on your paper on the second page. All of God's holy attributes are fully employed on your behalf 24/7. Your kid needs to know that. Your discipleship kids need to know it. If you're a parent of children, you need to know that it's all yours all the time. What are those holy attributes? Ding, 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 ding. Arthur Pink's book of God's attributes. There are 17 of them in here. Listen to this. And I did not know this until I studied. I couldn't have listed like this, God's holy attributes, the solitariness of God, the decrees of God, the knowledge of God, foreknowledge, supremacy, sovereignty, immutability, holiness, power, faithfulness, goodness, patience, grace, mercy, love, wrath, and the contemplation. What's the contemplation of God? You have to read stuff like, it's like, oh, is that what you call that? And then your kids need to know that. And they will. This is not too hard to understand. Are you feeling surrounded? Like, I can't do this anymore. Too much stress. Well, no, don't focus on that kind of surrounded. You are surrounded by a holy king. And all you'll ever need to survive whatever it is you're going through. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, whatever they're tempted with, whatever they are tempted with, he will give you all you need to stand up under it. Do they know that? Much to my sadness, I guess. Parents and kids alike in my office, I use that verse. I'm just about to wear out the thing if you can wear it out. And I hear over and over, oh, I didn't know that was in there. That's okay. Now they do. And I'm so excited that they're learning that. He can never not take care of you. He is intimately involved in every detail of you. There is no such thing as one split second that's out of control. That's sovereignty. He's in control of all things. Do kids know that? Do they know this? These truths? Are they living it, breathing it when life stomps on them and grinds a little bit? Can they stand up? I love this is swords up, people. Swords up. But what's your sword made of? I'm going to get a six pack. No, that's not the sword we're talking about. No, sword, truth, swords up. Fight this enemy. And this one, I rebuke the lies that are attacking me right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan has to flee at that one. At the name of Jesus Christ. I threw down here some phone numbers. Hope you never have to use them or tell the kids, but just in case. I want to wrap up with one quick thing here. And I will make it very, very quick. If a person is not thinking truth, they're not going to be feeling and acting. Let me reword that. They will feel and act in accordance with that which is not true. If they have lies in their lives, it will burn them. Here's the deal. Here's the trigger. Here are the thoughts. Here are the feelings. Here are the outcome. Trigger. Thoughts about that trigger. Feelings, and then the outcome. True story. Alone on, not for me, another kid, a kid. Home on Friday night, calls three different buddies. Nobody's available. He's alone on Friday night. That's a trigger for him. What does he think about that trigger? I don't have any friends. I never have. Nobody likes me. What's the point? He's feeling incredibly down. I mean, incredibly sad. It's a temporary deal. It's just Friday night. Outcome, put a bullet in his head. That's how impulsive they can be. What in the world? You know, turns out I talked to his parents the weekend prior, and even the day prior, he had four buddies over at his house hanging out the whole time. I have no friends. Because that one moment, things were not going. He was blockhead. He got stuck in I, me, now. It's really dangerous. What do kids think about having to stay home on a Friday night with no friends? Is it the end of the world? Oh, my goodness. That's that squishy thing I was talking about. That's really, really sad. So that's a demonstration of if you're thinking untruths here, now I'm just going to use a negative sign, you're going to have unhealthy feelings, you will have an unhealthy outcome. Now, not always a bullet in the head, but that doesn't go well. Now, it can be used another way. I was in a near plane crash one time, so this girl wasn't going to fly, and I was going to teach at a women's seminar in Indiana. Of course, I'm going to drive up there. I'm not going to fly. I'm a nuts. So they send me an airline ticket. Oh, no. So now I got to do it. And I was scared to death. But all those years would trigger fly. Absolutely not. That'll kill you. I'm scared to death. Don't fly. Until I was forced to. Then I had to. And we've worked that out. Me and God got that worked out. I fly now. But exposure therapy is what that was. He made me get on that airplane. And I didn't have the guts to be honest and tell those people I don't fly because I'm chicken, because the talk I was going to give was on faith. So I was stuck. All right. Couple of quickies. Now, Jeff, is it criminal and awful that I'm going a little over, is the question.
Well, I know some people may have to leave.
I understand.
Okay,
and that's okay. I need 5 minutes, and I really will be done. I want to do this one. This is true of all of us. I hurt. We live in a fallible world. We are sinners. We live in the Prince of Darkness's territory. This place is hard. So here's what we, so many of us do. I better switch to black. I don't know if y'all can see that. We have responses to our pain. We'll go to porn. Well, not all of us. But anyway, this is a problem. Sometimes it's cutting or self-inflicted violence. Sometimes it's alcohol and drugs. Sometimes it's shopping or shoplifting. I got a lot of shoplifting. This must be shoplifting season right now. Eating or not eating at all. You know, just food issues. On and on and on and on. Okay, here's the deal. This is problem, clearly problem number one. We hurt, problem number one. Well, now people choose problem, another problem to try to fix it. It doesn't fix it. Those are called in most books coping skills. I go, are y'all nuts? Those aren't coping. Those are non-coping. That's not coping. Coping means you handle something. That, in my opinion, that doesn't handle it at all. But those can even become addictions. I mean, now we've answered our original hurt. So see, when somebody comes into me and they're cutting, I have to get underneath and find out what's in here. And that's why you listen to these kids. Listen, listen. Don't get stuck on their cutting. That's a symptom of what's inside here. Okay, listen, listen, listen. And of course, here's the answer. And Jesus. But now you don't just go, okay, here's your deal. You just need Jesus. Here's what you do. I let that stand for something. Okay, really. Get rid of this one, and I want to blow that one up a little bit. It's extremely crucial that the kid and you be able to help them recognize their lies. So let me draw that a little bigger. I always draw it under a cross. It'll help you remember lies and truth, lies and truth. You need two columns. I spoke at a women's seminar yesterday, a big thing, and I had to draw a lot. They had to get an eraser person for me because it was just funny. Okay, so here's the deal. Easy to remember, the cross. Here's the deal. The lies, you got to know what your lies are. You got to identify your lies before you can change them. So I'm stupid. Nobody likes me. I'm fat. I'm never good enough, whatever they are. You got to listen to them and go, honey, I think when you were telling me your story, a couple of things you said really aren't true, I don't think. Do you? And you get them, you know, because the deal, see, the ones nobody likes me. And so I stand right there and go, well, that ain't true because I like you. And I'm not a nobody. Right there in the counseling session, they go, not true. I like you bunches. So anyway, and you got to get them to eliminate, to realize what's not true and get over here and say a truth. And that's why it's so important, going back to that list, what does Jesus say about you? That's how they know that stuff. That's the connection there. It's huge. It's just vital. I kind of wonder what would happen in your discipleship groups if pretty soon you said to them, what do y'all think Jesus says about you? I wonder how they would do. How many of them would say failure? That was kind of scary. But there's just something to fix. Last one. Here we go. This is my favorite. Okay, obviously, stands for Jesus. And here's the 7 billion of us that are on earth right now. This represents that. Okay, and let's say this is you or that kid in your discipleship group. And this is the they that they care way too much about. What did they think of me? What did they say? Well, let me tell you something. This is the one right here. Here's the guy. He says that you are fully loved, that list we were talking about, fully approved of, fully accepted. In Romans 1:25, I very much so took this out of context, but this is what it meant to me one morning in my quiet time when I was reading Romans 1:25. They, that'd be us, exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things instead of God, who is to forever be praised. You care too doggone much about what other people think of you or what you think they think of you and get hung on that. I don't have any friends. Put a bullet in my head. What? Fully loved, fully accepted, fully approved of. Here's the list that matters. That's why I did that first thing with you guys tonight. So I'll leave you with this. You guys, go brush up on the truth of what he says about you so you can pass it along in an extremely healthy way to your kids. You just got to be able to pound it into them. They are forgetting who this, or don't know yet, who this incredible God is. Okay? I just really beg that of you. I think I'm finished. So let's assume that I am. Okay.